Hello and welcome to our live telephone town hall meeting tonight. Thank you so much for registering and joining this live forum. You're on with the Indiana Department of Transportation, and we'll be doing this live forum for your benefit, and you'll have an opportunity to learn a lot, submit questions, and vote in polls, so stay tuned for that. We're dialing out to all of our registrants right now, so stick on the line, and we'll be starting in just a moment. We'll be discussing the NDOT long-range transportation plan, so stay tuned to learn more about that. You'll have the opportunity to submit questions for the Q&A portion of our forum tonight, so press zero to submit a question for this NDOT Teletown Hall at any time. You may have questions about Indiana's long-range transportation plan, the next level roads plan, or Indiana's economic competitiveness and quality of life. Again, press zero to submit a question on any of those topics or anything else that's on your mind. You can also press 7 to get email updates from NDOT as we develop the long-range transportation plan, which we will also refer to as the LRTP throughout this call. You can learn more online during or after this forum by visiting the LRTP website at in.gov/indot/3714.htm. And I will read that website again a couple of times throughout this call, so if you didn't get it, grab a pen and paper, and I'll give you another chance to write it down in just a few minutes here. So again, press zero at any time to submit a question. Thanks so much for joining us, and it's my pleasure to start this forum by turning it over to Scott Manning, our Strategic Communications Director here at NDOT. Go ahead, please, Scott.
Thank you very much, and this is the first ever telephone town hall hosted by NDOT, the Indiana Department of Transportation. We're excited you're listening tonight. We hope you'll take part in the conversation by offering us your thoughts on what the future should look like for Indiana's transportation system, or you can take part by simply asking a question also. We have several NDOT team members here tonight with expertise in a wide range of areas that touch on all the programs and services that we offer. To offer a comment or ask a question, again, simply press zero on your phone. We'll also have some poll questions throughout our conversation. We'll offer a question and a series of answers. You'll be able to give your thoughts by pressing the number on your phone that corresponds with the answer you choose. We're here for the next hour. We're talking tonight about Indiana's long-range transportation plan. That plan serves as a roadmap to help guide us in making decisions on developing our network of highways, rail lines, airports, water ports, and other transportation facilities. And a major component of developing that plan is public involvement. We believe that to develop a transportation network that reflects the needs of Hoosier taxpayers and businesses, it's critical for us to talk with you, to learn your priorities, to learn strengths of the current system, where you see opportunity for improvement, and more. And this telephone town hall tonight is one avenue we have to connect with you to get that feedback. We do have others. We've held open houses at locations around Indiana. We have information about the long-range plan on our website, which again is in.gov/indot. Beyond that, we have tools for you to engage with us after tonight's town hall is over, and I want to mention a couple of those for you now, including our toll-free customer service line, 1-855-INDOT4U. That option is available to you 24 hours a day, and not only to ask questions or comment on the long-range transportation plan, but for any questions or comments or concerns you have about NDOT maintained transportation facilities. We have folks there to answer your questions and provide assistance. We also have that option online at indot4u.com, where you can submit questions, concerns, and comments there anytime as well. We're active on social media, too. You can follow and engage with us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. And you can find information and content on those channels on statewide initiatives like the Long Range Plan and others. You can also connect with our six district offices and learn more about what NDOT is doing closer to where you live and work. As we talk tonight about the long-range transportation plan, we'll focus on a few key areas, including priorities for the future. We'll provide an update on our Next Level Roads Plan, which is a 20-year initiative to enhance the condition of highways and bridges in the state. And we'll talk about how the long-range plan impacts quality of life and economic competitiveness here in the Hoosier State. Tonight truly is a conversation, and we want to devote as much of the hour as we can to you. We want to hear from you, and we'll do that here in just a moment. Before we dive into our discussion and start answering questions, I want to introduce a few members of the NDOT team that will be helping to guide our discussion and offering their expertise to help answer your questions. First, I want to introduce Jay Mitchell. Jay is the supervisor for NDOT's Technical Planning Division. Jay and his team play a key role in developing the long-range transportation plan. They work with transportation consultants, metropolitan planning organizations, local officials, and Hoosiers all across the state to identify opportunities to leverage our transportation system to improve quality of life and enhance economic growth. Jay, thanks for being here tonight.
Thank you, Scott. It's a pleasure to be here.
Also with us is Ricky Clark. Ricky is NDOT's Manager of Public Involvement. He works directly with Hoosiers to share information about the programs and services that NDOT offers and facilitates our public involvement process on major projects to ensure that as we build and maintain our transportation system, we're doing it in ways that best meet the needs of people and businesses that are touched by the work that we do every day. Ricky, thanks for taking part tonight.
Thanks so much, Scott. Really appreciate the opportunity. I appreciate the opportunity to engage with customers as well. As you mentioned earlier, NDOT did proactively go out earlier this summer during our transportation talk open houses, and so tonight's telephone town hall is a continuation of that conversation, so extremely happy to be here.
Great. We have a few other experts with us that will be helping to answer questions throughout our discussion. Want to briefly introduce you to those folks. Roy Nunley, our Director of Asset Planning and Programming, is here. Lisa Wisely, our Customer Satisfaction Manager. Barbara Malone manages our Americans with Disabilities Act coordination, environmental justice, and Title VI Civil Rights Act compliance. Jim Stark, our multimodal director, is here. Also, Brad Steckler, director of traffic engineering. Andy Fitzgerald, NDOT's bridge inspection manager. And Kathy Eaton McCallop, director of local programs for NDOT. Those folks are all here tonight. They'll play a key role in helping to answer the questions that you all have. So I thank them for joining us and being part of tonight's telephone town hall. With that, we're excited to take questions and hear from you. As we dive into the long-range transportation plan specifically, Jay, I want to turn to you first. We've talked about at a high level what the long-range transportation plan is, but can you give some guidance for why it's so critically important for NDOT to undertake this exercise to plan for the future?
Thank you, Scott. The reason why we do the long-range plan is to set NDOT's priorities and for the next 20 to 25 years into the future. We look at all of the potential funding that might be coming into NDOT. We evaluate our current roadways for the current needs and also the future needs that we might have on the roadways. In addition to the roadways, we also look at bicycle and pedestrian needs, and as well as the other modes such as transit, aviation, and even waterborne transportation in Indiana. So we are looking at those different modes carefully. We lay out the plan of action that we may be using for the future to guide NDOT as it selects projects that it will actually be putting in place and building in the future.
Thank you very much, Jay. And before we go any further, Ian, I want to give an opportunity for folks that may have just joined us that are interested in taking part in the conversation. If you could provide a refresh for how folks that are on the line with us can engage.
Sure. Thanks so much. So everybody who's on the line, thanks so much for registering. If you have a question you'd like to submit, you can press 0 at any time during this forum. You'll have the opportunity to ask that question live. So if you press 0, you can ask it live. If you prefer not to have it live and you want me to ask your question on your behalf and read it over the air, I'm happy to do that. You should still press 0 to submit your question. and then let your operator know that you want the moderator to read your question if that's your preference, whatever's more comfortable for you. And for those of you who signed up for email updates from NDOT on the long-range transportation plan when you registered, you don't necessarily need to press 7 to give us your email address unless you have another email you want to register with. But if you're not receiving updates and you'd like to, press 7 to give us your email address, and we'll keep you updated on the long-range transportation plan as we move forward. All right, thanks, Scott. Back to you.
Thank you very much. And again, we are excited to hear from you. So at any point in the conversation, feel free to jump in with a comment or question. That's really what tonight is all about. And with that in mind, Ricky, I want to bring you into the conversation and your role in terms of public involvement. That's at the forefront of what you do on a day-in, day-out basis. But as it relates to the long-range transportation plan, the long-range transportation plan doesn't happen without public involvement. It's such a big component in this process. Why is that the case, and what are the benefits to NDOT and to Hoosiers to be involved in that process?
Yeah, that's a great question. Thanks, Scott. Certainly the long-range transportation plan is at the foundation. It's at the very forefront in terms of transportation planning, project selection. As I mentioned earlier at the beginning of the call, NDOT did embark on a series of open house sessions earlier this summer to solicit input into what the public might want or what they might expect in terms of transportation planning. But this is really at the very beginning, the foundation. Probably later in the call, we'll talk a little bit about how projects are programmed, how they're entered into the overall NDOT production schedule. But this is at the very forefront of the conversation. Before projects are actually programmed, before projects are actually selected, we're out in the forefront soliciting input from the public as to what they see in terms of transportation innovations and trends in the short and then also the long term. And so this is at the very forefront of that, those conversations. And one thing I'll mention tonight is just the continuation of a conversation. Certainly when the actual draft long-range transportation plan is put out for public review, which it will be here soon, that will initiate at least a 30-day public comment period where the public will have an opportunity to actually view the entire document, submit comments to us. And so the involvement will be ongoing. And so we'll transition from the long-range transportation plan to an actual project listing of projects that we call our statewide transportation improvement program. And so public involvement is at the very forefront. It's such a vital element. We cannot stress that enough, that we need to elicit the public's input and feedback and their comments in everything that we do. And certainly before we make a decision on what projects become projects, what projects become programmed, we've got to be able to solicit input in that way. So this is just a continuation of that conversation, and so we hope to receive questions during this hour so that we can further this conversation.
Excellent. And this is a touch point, one of many, as Ricky alluded to. So we're excited to take questions and comments tonight, but as we mentioned, and we'll refresh throughout the evening, there will be opportunities to stay involved with the process beyond just tonight. So we encourage you to do that. Jay, one of the things I think that's helpful for folks to know is what goes into the long-range transportation plan beyond public involvement. In terms of planning, we have information, data gathered, research conducted on elements such as asset management planning, the condition of our roads and bridges, looking specifically at our freight system and our rail system and others, information that feeds into the long-range plan that helps better inform that process.
Oh, that's correct, Scott. There are a number of tools that we use, and we're continually assessing our roadways and our waterways and our public transportation system to see where there might be deficiencies along those systems. The most common thing that we look at is pavement condition, because that's the most important thing to most of our driving public anyway. So we're constantly looking at the current condition. We have a number of tools that we use. We have tools where we actually drive the roads and sensors in the roads that assess the current status of the roadway itself. We also have some modeling capabilities, some travel demand modeling where we will set up different scenarios and run those models to see what impact there might actually be on our system itself, to see where we might need to put or add capacity, or even in some cases where we used to have a lot of capacity and it's no longer needed, where we might want to reduce that capacity and how we might go about doing that. A concept that we've kind of put into place, or we're actually toying with, we're starting to put into place, is areas where there used to be 4 to 6 lane roadways near factories, things of that sort, that are no longer used for that purpose. We're trying to repurpose those, use those lanes that are still needed, yet turn the other lanes that are available into multi-use facilities for bicycling and for pedestrian as well. The common term we use for that is called a road diet. It's somewhat new to Indiana, but it's something that we're looking at as well. I hope that helps to answer some of your questions.
Absolutely.
Jay, I was just also going to piggyback on that comment and just mention that NDOT earlier this afternoon did post an executive summary onto our long-range transportation webpage. So if you were to visit the NDOT website, www.in.gov/NDOT, enter the keyword long-range transportation plan, you would find the executive summary. That would give you a great preview of what the long-range transportation plan actually contains, and that was just posted earlier this afternoon. So we invite and encourage everyone to visit the webpage and take a look at the document.
Fantastic. And I want to go back to something, Jay, you mentioned just a moment ago as you were outlining, you know, the different elements and information that we have at our disposal to help feed into the long-range transportation plan. You mentioned the condition of our roads and bridges, what motorists experience as they drive on our roadways, and the look and touch and feel is a big driver that we use to help guide our planning process. But increasingly, as we look at the quality of life component, and we're going to dive deeper into that as we go throughout the hour, certainly bicycle and pedestrian facilities, opportunities to incorporate more of those active modes of transportation into our entire system is becoming increasingly important, and it's a point of emphasis for local communities. Can you talk more specifically about how we address bike and ped and how we look at that in the long-range transportation plan development process?
Oh, yes, certainly. In Indiana, we're starting to get back into the concept of bicycle and pedestrians. For years, roads dominated everything, especially at NDOT. That's all we cared about is making the roads better for the driving public. While our current population is not as concerned with that, that is a major concern, but they're now talking about things that improve quality of life, such as bicycling, pedestrian activities, things of that nature. So what we're trying to do is incorporate more of those type of projects into our projects, or more of those concepts into our projects, in areas where it may matter, primarily in urban areas where it matters the most, less often in the more rural areas. But we tend to look at our projects from the start, what would be needed for the entire project so that all users of the roadway would be accommodated. So that would include both the car-driving public, or the people that drive automobiles. That would include pedestrians, and then also, in some cases, bicycles, which can be found both on the roadways themselves in Indiana, and in some cases, bike lanes along the roadways, or even separate dedicated trails for bikeways and for pedestrians as well. It's kind of a case-by-case basis right now. We're at the sort of the cusp of this change that's affecting us. It's being driven primarily by younger people in our communities, and oddly enough, older people that are starting to use their cars a little less and driving less, riding a bicycle or walking to the store, to the coffee shop, that sort of thing. So something we're definitely taking into consideration. We are concerned about the health of our public, the health of the Indiana Hoosier as well.
Certainly, we are open to questions, not only on the long-range transportation plan, but any topic of interest or question that you may have related to our transportation system and NDOT programs and services or offerings. We have a number of experts available throughout the hour to help answer your questions. And as for folks on the line, one of the things that as we continue to this discussion as it relates to the long-range plan, I think one of the things that's important, and I'll open it up to Ricky and Jay for discussion, but also we want you to offer your thoughts as well. Again, press zero on your phone to join the conversation and offer thoughts or ideas. What specific issues are out there that we haven't yet talked about? We've talked about a couple asset management planning that's of huge interest to the public because it affects the smoothness of roads and durability of bridges. And, you know, Jay just talked about, the increasing interest in bicycle pedestrian infrastructure and incorporating that into our roadways. Ricky and Jay, what other concepts, notions, ideas are out there as you engage with the public, engage with local officials and other stakeholders? What other trends are you seeing emerge as things to consider in transportation planning that maybe we weren't doing 5, 10, 15 years ago?
Thanks, Scott. One of the things that's definitely coming up, it's the beginning of this process, and that has to do with more automated vehicles, which we see coming in the future. We don't know exactly what that will look like, but we do have sort of a taste of that. Some of our cars are already equipped with automatic stop safety mechanisms as well as lane protection systems in them. That's sort of the beginning for that. That affects NDOT because right now we need to know what it is we have to do to our roadways, to our infrastructure, so that that type of vehicle in the future will be able to operate on our roadways. And we're not quite sure what the long-term effect of that will be. Obviously, it'll be less people interacting directly with our driving experience, but it could mean in the future possibly some really interesting things on our highways, such as if we automate the trucks and remove some of the human factor, we can actually start platooning trucks together. So there might be four or five trucks very close together. It may be the same thing also with automobiles driving very close together. For people that drive on a regular basis, it'll be something new, something a little bit uneasy for us. But as that moves ahead with people moving into the system, it'll be very easy for them to adapt to. For me, if I drive next to trucks five or six in a row, I get very nervous. Same thing if I get very close to other vehicles. But with an automated system, that would be something very good. Another possibility from that would be that as we automate these vehicles and we get them closer together and we get them safer, theoretically, there may not be as great a need for added capacity in some places. We may make the roadways actually more efficient through this process. Again, it's too early to know at this time. We're on the cutting edge. We have some research going on in Indiana through Purdue University. We are closely tied with Purdue on this research. And we're also, that's a very high-level item that we're looking at for the future here at NDOT as well.
Absolutely. In the area of a number of different areas of emerging interest there, connected and autonomous vehicles certainly is at the forefront, not only for state departments of transportation like NDOT, but also the auto industry, Silicon Valley. There's a convergence of thought leaders there in how to embrace that technology. And NDOT, as Jay mentioned, working with Purdue University and others and other state DOTs to prepare our transportation system for that coming revolution as it relates to connected and autonomous vehicles and other innovations. Also, want to bring Ian back into the conversation. Ian, I know we're approaching an opportunity here to offer a poll question. We also have a couple of questions that have come in from folks that have been listening in on the conversation and want to offer some thoughts as well.
Sure. Thank you, Scott. And yeah, we will take Joe's question in just a moment, and then we'll have our first survey question. You'll be able to vote on your phone. And remember, if you'd like to submit a question like Joe has, go ahead and push zero on your phone. You can either ask your question live or you can have me read it. In either case, you'll want to press zero, and then you can let your moderator or let your operator know that you want the moderator to read it if that's your preference. And that is, in fact, Joe's preference, so I'll read Joe's question for him. Joe's in Indianapolis, and his question is, will the long-range plan address public transportation. Scott, who should we go to for the answer to that one?
Let's bring Jay in first. Jay, the question, as Ian just mentioned, just to refresh, will the long-range transportation plan take a look at public transportation?
Yes, it will. We look at public transportation in Indiana as our planning process moves ahead. However, in Indiana, as with most states, public transportation is primarily a locally funded initiative. We provide funding through NDOT for these public transportation systems and for the improvement of those public transportation systems, but we at NDOT, we currently do not own a single transportation system that's a public transportation system. With regard to like city bus, that sort of type of transportation, that mode, but we do fund it, we support it, and we have been encouraging the rural public transportation dramatically in recent years, and we provide a lot of extra money for new starts in that area as well. But primarily, it's a local issue at this point. NDOT is here. We provide expertise through our transit management staff here. We provide grant funding that helps get the systems going for both capital and for operating assistance for the smaller systems. And we're looking at other opportunities for public transportation, trying to assist as much as we can, but we don't actually operate any. On light rail, though, we do have a small railroad in Indiana that we operate now. Amtrak used to operate this line that went from Chicago to Indianapolis and back a few years ago. The line was in jeopardy of being lost by Amtrak. NDOT, together with the cities along the line, that route, who were affected by that, got together, and we provided the funding that will keep that route going. So actually, in theory, we have one railroad that we don't own. We lease the track. We lease the equipment. We hire out the or we actually contract out the operation of that. But it's a railroad that we actually operate from right now from Chicago to Indianapolis and back, and it operates several times a week, and we encourage people to use that as well. There's one last surviving interurban system in Indiana. It's commonly called the South Shore Line. Some people, and it's also tied to something called the NICTI Line, and that's in northwest Indiana. It goes from Chicago, Illinois, all the way to South Bend, Indiana, and quite a bit of extra cash has been sent that way to improve the infrastructure on that line in recent years, such as dividing the tracks. Also, some improvements to the stations themselves, in some cases moving those stations to areas that are more convenient for the riding public and for the commuting public.
Great. All right. Thanks so much. Appreciate the answer.
To piggyback on Jay's question, this is a great segue. I would encourage the caller with the question to visit the NDOT website. We actually have a webpage titled NDOT Multimodal Division. And then comprised within our multimodal division are the offices of transit, aviation, our rail programs office, and then also our freight office. And one of the things, as I travel around the state conducting public involvement, is many of our customers sometimes are surprised that we also administer funds for transit, rail, aviation programs. You know, we are the Indiana Department of Transportation, and that certainly encompasses more than just roads and bridges. And so our multimodal division would be an excellent resource available to learn more about our transit programs in addition to our rail program and our Office of Aviation as well.
Excellent. Joe, thank you for your question. We really appreciate it. And as you heard in the comments from both Ricky and Jay, public transportation is a critical component and something that we'll be taking an in-depth look at as we continue this development process for the long-range transportation plan. We have opportunity to take questions from other folks. We do have a couple of folks that were waiting. We're going to get to those questions we'll get to Tammy's question here in just a moment, so hang on the line. But Ian, I know we're at a good place here to offer up a poll question to get some insights from our audience.
Sure. Thanks, Scott. All right. So this will be our first of three survey questions. You can vote on this using your phone. We want to know the following transportation issues or needs in Indiana. What would you consider the highest priority? Press 1 if it's safety. Press 2 if it's multimodal choices like driving, biking, walking, transit, etc. Press 3 if it's reliable travel time. Press 4 if it's freight movement. Press 5 if it's access to opportunities. I'll read that again. So our first survey question is, of the following transportation issues or needs in Indiana, what would you consider the highest priority? Press 1 for safety, 2 for multimodal choices like driving, biking, walking, press 3 for reliable travel time, 4 for freight movement, and press 5 for access to opportunities. And while you're voting on that, before we reveal the results, I'd like to remind everybody the websites you can go to get more information on the long-range transportation plan. You can go to in.gov/INDOT, and you can go very specifically to in.gov/IND/3714.htm. And I'll read that after each of our polls if you want to grab a pen and paper so that you can write that down. And remember, folks, you can press 0 at any time to submit a question. We're going to be going in just a moment here to Tammy with her question. But first, we've got the results of our poll, which are pretty evenly split. We have 32% saying safety is the top priority, 32% saying multimodal choices like driving, biking, and walking, 32% saying reliable travel time, and just 5% saying freight movement, and 0% for access to opportunities. Scott, any thoughts on the results of that poll?
Thanks, Ian. I think what I would say, first of all, is, and certainly I want Ricky and Jay to weigh in as well, but I think the biggest takeaway is that balance across safety, multimodal choices, and reliable travel time. I think it's intuitive and a desire from every user of our transportation system to be able to get from point A to point B safely and to do it quickly. And at the same time, you know, Jay mentioned earlier, increasingly from a quality of life standpoint, livability standpoint, attraction of talent standpoint for economic development, the ability to get from point A to point B with more than one option is critically important. So I think these results reflect what we see as we talk to Hoosiers each and every day. So not surprising results, at least in my mind. But Ricky, Jay, from what you see from the poll results, what are your takeaways?
I would agree. Freight movement I see is listed a little lower. Oddly enough, Indiana is situated through in the center of the United States. Major roadways do connect through Indiana. A lot of freight moves through Indiana, and it's actually increasing at a dramatic rate at present, primarily with the change in the way that commerce is taking care of at this time, at this particular time. We have more and more deliveries being made for the Amazon deliveries going on trucks on our roadways and also smaller trucks as well. So that's a little bit surprising to me, and perhaps the public is less aware of the amount of freight that we currently have on our roadways and the effect that it has on our roadways. Safety is always paramount to NDOT. It's the most important thing that we take care of, that we're concerned about. We want everybody that gets in their automobile, their bicycle, or walks across the street to be able to go home in the same way that they entered that particular facility. Multimodal is something we're working on a little more than we have in the past. Reliable travel time as well. That's always important to us. That improves mobility for everyone, and I think it improves the quality of life for everyone as well. But I did want to point out with freight, there is a lot of movement through Indiana with regard to commodities and other things of that nature. So not trying to steer the conversation, but yes, safety is important, but freight does matter here.
Yeah, and I think what stood out most to me, Scott, would be I thought multimodal choices might be a little bit higher. When we travel around, we hear a lot of comment with regard to looking beyond just road and bridge, looking at pedestrian-type facilities, the quality of life issue for walking, biking, recreation. So in my mind, I thought that might be a little bit higher. Of course, safety is paramount, as Jay mentioned, certainly first and foremost. Freight movement, certainly I thought might have been a little bit higher, considering that We are Indiana, the crossroads of America, no doubt. Yeah, so in my mind, I thought multimodal mobile choices might be a little bit higher, but this is a really good pulse on what the callers might be thinking at this point in time. So very good.
Well, we appreciate everyone that took a moment to participate in the poll question. The feedback is really valuable to us. We appreciate that. That's what tonight is all about. So thank you for that. I want to turn now to a question we have. Tammy has been waiting very patiently. She's calling in from Kokomo this evening. Tammy, thank you very much for taking part in our telephone town call. We're happy to answer your question.
Hi. You know, I was going back a little bit. Jay was talking about the autonomous vehicles in Purdue, and I wondered about the time frame on that and if in the long-range plan that they were addressing it at all, if there's any kind of language that's going to be put in the long-range plan and if Purdue had some kind of, like, time frame on the autonomous vehicles.
Well, thanks, Tammy. I'm not sure what the time frame for Purdue is. It's an ongoing study. It's an ongoing research that they're conducting. So I'm not sure when that will actually be finished. And I think it's an ongoing situation. It's going to take several years as this all sort of plays out. What technologies move forward, which ones we think are really hot today that will actually be used in the future and then later on peter out and are not used, and what actually comes to play. So we're not really sure what that's going to look like. Purdue's really not sure right now. They're working on the best available information, conducting the research. They're working with our automotive industry, which is strong in Indiana, to put that research to use. But again, we don't know what the final product will be, what it will actually look like. We're just going to try to be ready and keep our fingers in the pot so that we know what might be coming down the road so that we can prepare the infrastructure to take care of the new technology that's coming online. Don't know the time frame yet. What we do hear is that things are changing rapidly, that it's a revolutionary change, that we're going to see it within the next not 10, 20 years, but possibly 7 or less. We're already seeing some of the fruits of that happening now with some of the automated vehicles, and we've also seen some of, I know I've seen some of the shows where or news reports where an autonomous vehicle ran into pedestrians and killed them, that sort of thing. So things need to be worked out as they move forward. So we're doing our best to try to be ready. We don't know the time frame at this point. We tie in heavily with them, with Purdue, and we try to keep on in contact with them as well. I hope that answers
your question.
Right,
so you're not putting any kind of... Yes, it does. Thank you. So you're not putting any kind of language in the long-range plan being, you know, a 20-year long-range plan or anything?
Yes, we will be addressing new technology in the long-range plan. We will put in, we have some chapters that deal with that, some paragraphs in those chapters, rather, and we are talking about the possibility and what the ramifications might actually be to our transportation network in Indiana. Yes.
Oh, great. Thanks so much.
Tammy, I would also add, just to give a little bit of context, while the timeline is still somewhat fluid, I think it's important to know that NDOT and Purdue and others have been working hard over the last few years as this technology becomes more available to understand, to the extent that we can, where we expect to see deployment first. And one of the areas where we expect this technology to take hold first is on our interstates, and specifically in the freight industry. So one of the first points of emphasis in our partnership with Purdue in studying connected and autonomous vehicles is taking a hard look at the concept of truck platooning. So that's an area of focus where active research is happening now. Another area where we see this technology emerging very quickly is in the connected vehicle sphere. So vehicles that are able to through cellular technology and through the cloud connect with our traffic signals and exchange data and ultimately perhaps provide data from onboard diagnostics from the vehicle to NDOT to help us make maintenance decisions, asset management decisions, as we look for ways to enhance how we respond to needs on our customer or on our transportation system. So truck platooning and looking at specifically at connected vehicles, are two point of emphasis for us, where both NDOT and Purdue are doing active research right now. So hopefully that helps to answer your question. Thank you, Tammy, for weighing in tonight. We appreciate it very much.
Yeah, absolutely. I was going to just chime in, Scott, and thank you, Tammy, for that question. I would say, in addition to NDOT and Purdue, also another collaborative research partner would be our friends at the federal level, Federal Highway Administration, also being a resource to NDOT, and certainly that provides access to data from other state DOTs as well. And so I think it's a collaborative research effort at the federal level, and then certainly here within Indiana between NDOT and Purdue. So that's an excellent question. Thank you, Tammy.
Promising research in this realm, and we're excited to see where it leads us, and we see benefits for the future. Certainly, we'll take time to get there, but we're excited to see what's on the horizon there. So, Tammy, again, thank you. Want to jump now to another question. Kim is in Indianapolis and has some questions related to how funding plays a part in the long-range transportation plan. Kim, thank you for joining us.
Hi, everyone. This is Kim here in Indianapolis. I wondered, one, if the team could talk a little bit about various funding sources and funding sources that are used here on the call. But then I also wondered the extent to which the long-range plan will talk about those sources and potentially look at and address what some of us would consider to be an imbalance in that funding, the fact that 95%+ of the budget is going to roads and highways specifically, less than 5% going to walking, biking, transit, rail in total. And to just hear if the plan is going to address the ability to shift that more so than it has been in the past. Thanks.
Thank you, Kim. Yes, the plan will address the funding situation. In Indiana, most of our funding comes from gasoline tax dollars. There are some ancillary funding that comes from other sources, but the primary driver for all of our funding is gasoline taxes, both federal and state, and those are subject to market conditions and economic conditions. The cheaper the gasoline is, obviously people want purchase more of it, and so that does affect our bottom line as to what we can spend. In Indiana, we currently spend about $860 million out of our current STIP. That's our four-year funding plan for it's actually a programming document for the projects that are actually being built within the next 4 years. About $860 million is being spent on added capacity. On transit projects, as you pointed out, we're spending about $178 million. Bicycle and pedestrian is about $155 million, safety $215 million. New bridges is $54 million. Railroads themselves, we spend about $53 million, at least that's what we have programmed over the next 4 years. And maintenance is a high cost dollar item for us as well. Most of our users currently use the state highway system. So obviously, there's more wear and tear there. There's more demand for that at this time, but we are seeing more of a shift. I can tell you that definitely 10 years ago, you would not see $155 million being spent on bicycle and pedestrian needs in Indiana. Transit has increased a little bit from year to year. Money has not shifted as much as it could be. But we do actually allow shifting. The Federal Highway Administration allows us to shift money over from federal highway use to transit. We actually do that with quite a bit of our CMAC money. That's an acronym for congestion mitigation and safety improvements, rather air quality improvements, not safety improvements. But that money is often flexed from the highway side to the transit system side, and that money is then used on the transit side for capital projects, such as purchasing new equipment, new bus facilities, garages, things like that, and also for bus shelters on corners and improvements even to the ADA requirements along those needs. So, yes, there is some shifting taking place. There's the capability of shifting more. Right now, we think most of our needs are in the realm of highway needs, so that takes precedent at this time. We are seeing some changes over time, but right now the majority of funding does indeed go to the highway systems, yes.
Kim, thank you for your question. We appreciate it very much. We've only got about 15 minutes left. We want to get to as many of your questions as we can. Again, if you're listening and you have a question or a comment, press zero on your telephone. Todd is also in Indianapolis tonight. Todd, thanks for being with us. How can we help?
Yes, good evening. I appreciate this discussion. It's very informative. I wanted to touch base on what was brought up earlier concerning the Hoosier State and the plans to improve that service, both in capacity and reliable timing and that sort of thing. And of course, that there are a lot of moving parts in that. CSX is involved, and I just wanted to know. I know today the money allocated is to keep things running as is. What my question is, what's being done to improve capacity, frequency, on time, that sort of thing?
Thanks. That's a great question. A very simple answer for your question is that NDOT has moved from one provider on the Hoosier State to another provider to improve the service. That happened about a year ago. We are noticing an uptick in ridership on the Hoosier State, which makes it more visible, and it makes it more likely that we will spend additional funding on that particular railroad. So it is important to us. It's important to our business community and in our public in general to have access to Chicago. In my case, I would prefer to take the Hoosier State to go to Chicago rather than drive through the traffic and have to pay the $40 to $50 to park in Chicago. I personally prefer that, and it's very cost-effective to do that. So
yeah,
Hoosier State is very important to us.
So
and,
who can I work?
You may have heard recently, I think in the last week or so, we're actually running ads out there encouraging folks to take the Hoosier State and making it easier for them to do so. So on-time delivery of our public, on-time delivery of the trains is very important to us. One of the things that does hamper us somewhat with regard to passenger rail is we do not actually own the tracks themselves. They're owned by other railroad carriers, and they have priority over those tracks, and they tend to put priority on their freight movement, and passenger movement tends to take a back seat. So that does affect the quality as far as on-time delivery of the trains themselves, but we are working to improve that. We're constantly working to improve that.
Excellent. Again, we do have some time left for your questions. Press zero on your keypad to ask a question or offer a comment. We will also have a poll question coming up here in just a few moments. But, Ian, I know we had a question come through offline, so I want to give you an opportunity to share that.
Sure thing. Yeah, we got a question in from Amy, who was actually giving one of our operators her email address, and that's an opportunity for me to remind you that if you didn't already give us your email address to get updates on the long-range transportation plan, you can do that now by pressing 7 on your phone. So press 7 if you'd like to give us your email address to get updates as we move through the process of developing the long-range transportation plan. That's 7 for email updates and 0 if you'd like to submit any questions. Amy's question is, how will they include people with disabilities in the planning process from the beginning?
Great question. We are actually taking advantage of that. We are doing that as we move forward. Not because we have to, because we actually do have to under the Americans with Disabilities Act, but because it's good for everyone. If we make our systems more accessible, it not only improves the lives of those who need it to be more accessible, but to everybody. All of our citizens are benefited by that, because at some time, we all may have some sort of difficulty in either maneuvering or walking or getting our mobility. But in general, it helps everyone. It improves the quality of life for the entire population. And how are we affecting that? from day one, from the concept of an improvement is needed, we looked at what we can do to not only take care of the driving public, if that's the project, but also particularly how we will meet the current ADA requirements and actually going beyond those. In Indiana, we've decided to move ahead beyond the current requirements to something called the NACTO requirements, which are somewhat more stringent. We are applying those to all of our ADA-type projects throughout the state. We're also reevaluating all of our intersections throughout the entire state. I was involved in that process in the early days a few years ago, where each intersection was evaluated across the entire state transportation system to see what its current status was, what it needed, if it was improved in the past, and if that improvement holds true today, or if something has shifted, if there's some sort of change that needs to be made to bring it up to current standards. Again, that would be the NACTO standards. But that's what we had done. We have a plan of action to take care of those. We actually have more need, obviously, than we have dollars, so we budgeted certain amounts of dollars per year. I think in the neighborhood of about, I don't want to actually say it because I don't remember, I'll say it wrong, but I know we have a certain amount of budget that actually goes to those projects each and every year. And as we move forward, every single new project that we do, we deal with the ADA requirements and try to make mobility available for everyone. So I hope that answers the question, and Ricky may have something to add to that.
Thanks, Jay. I was just going to mention also NDOT developed an ADA transition plan. That transition plan is updated, I believe, every year. And one of the keys to that plan is evaluating and assessing how making sure all of the NDOT programs or policies, projects that we're implementing ADA at the project level and then also at the program level. And so we have that plan is available for review. We solicit input from the public with regard to that plan. So that's available online as well. And again, that is updated each year. But that's another check and balance, if you will, to make sure that we are providing ADA access in regards to our project development plans. So that's available for review as well. So just wanted to mention that. And that's on the NDOT website, keyword ADA transition plan.
Amy, we appreciate your question. We've got time for a few more. We've got a little bit less than 10 minutes left. We wanted, though, before we go any further, Ian, I want to bring you back in. Let's take an opportunity here to ask another poll question of our audience.
Sure thing. Thank you, Scott. Howard, hang tight. We'll be getting to your question next. We're going to run this poll first, and then we'll get back to Q&A. We want to know, what mode of transportation do you use the most daily? Press 1 if it's driving, 2 if it's walking, 3 if it's biking, 4 if it's transit, and 5 if it's a combination of 2 or more of the above. Our second polling question again is, what mode of transportation do you use the most daily? Press 1 for driving, 2 for walking, 3 for biking, 4 for transit, and 5 for a combination of 2 or more of the above. So go ahead and vote on that now. I'll remind you again where you can find out more information on the long-range transportation plan. That's in.gov/indot/3714.htm, or you can just go to in.gov/indot and navigate from there. Thanks again, everybody, for voting in our polls. We've got the results of this last poll in. 59% said driving was their most common daily transportation. We had 33% said it was a combination of two or more of those that we listed. 7% said transit, and we had 0% for a majority of walking and biking. Thoughts on the answers to that survey question, Scott?
I think what's what jumps out to me is the percentage numbers that we saw for a combination of more than one mode of transportation being used on a daily basis. I think that really speaks to some of the evolution that we've seen in terms of a desire for multimodal choices across our transportation system. And I think it speaks to a need as we look at planning long term to develop our network in a way where all of our modes complement each other and we really build from the first mile to the last mile. And so I think that's why conversations like tonight are so important and important and will continue to be increasingly important so that we arrive at transportation solutions that kind of meet where our customers are going. Ricky and Jay, we're running short on time, but would be interested to hear your thoughts on the poll results also.
Well, this is Jay. I'm not terribly surprised, but I am surprised that walking did not register slightly higher. Again, it's probably the transportation that you use most daily. Obviously, we bus drive a lot and use transit to some extent. But in my case, I drive a lot, but there are certain days when I'm not going to work where I walk most of the time.
Yeah, and I'm looking at reliable travel time, and I thought that might rank just a wee bit higher. You know, we're all certainly, you know, traveling to and from for employment, recreation, what have you. So I thought number three actually would rank just a little bit higher.
Thank you. Let's jump back to our phone calls. Let's go to Fort Wayne. Howard has been waiting patiently tonight. Howard, we appreciate you hanging on the line. Glad to have an opportunity to talk with you and answer your question.
Thank you. How will the long-range plan address the need to eliminate fossil fuels?
Oh, thanks for the question. A little bit of a delay there. We don't often get that question, but we're seeing a change in some of the use of fuels. One of the downsides as far as fossil fuel use goes is gasoline prices have declined in recent years, so that encourages people to buy more gasoline anyway. But what we have in Indiana is a network, and we're tying into a national network of compressed liquid natural gas facilities throughout the state, throughout multiple states, which also leads to, while it is a fossil fuel, it's a cleaner fossil fuel, and it's something that's a transition as well. Electric vehicles are starting to come online a little more, but we still don't quite have the recharging stations that we might need to have as far as the infrastructure goes. The long-range plan actually addresses some of those needs, dealing particularly with compressed natural gas facilities and so forth. NDOT, by the way, we did an initiative about 10 years ago where we took many of our service trucks and we converted those from gasoline or diesel trucks over compressed natural gas. At the time, the cost of fuel was very expensive. Natural gas was a very inexpensive way to go. It worked out very well for us. We spent less money. We saved taxpayers money. Also, we found that there was less wear and tear on our service vehicles using compressed natural gas. There are less contaminants within the fuel itself. So I hope that helps to answer your question to some degree.
Great question, Howard. We appreciate it very much, and certainly as we, I think your question relating to fossil fuels and the transition away from that technology, or at least incorporating alternative fuel technology options, I think it goes back to, again, some of the themes that we've talked about earlier, which is just emergence in new technology and new trends in the way that people use our transportation system. I think your comments on fossil fuels and the transition in that regard fits right into that larger theme as well. We're running short on time. Again, I want to thank everyone that participated tonight. We do have some options available if you're on the line and we didn't have time to get to your question. We do have some options for you to provide a question or comment to us and a way for us to get back to you after tonight's call is over. So, Ian, I want to give you an opportunity to let anyone that may have a question here in our closing moments know how they can connect with NDOT so that we can continue that conversation.
Sure thing. Thanks, Scott. For anybody who didn't get a chance to have their question answered, or if you have additional thoughts, questions, comments, concerns, go ahead and stay on the line as we close out this call here. Just by staying on the phone as we close out the event, you'll have an opportunity to leave us a voicemail message. So stay on the line, follow the prompts. When you leave that voicemail message, if you need someone with NDOT to get back to you, make sure you leave your name and your contact information in addition to the thought, question, comment, or concern you may have, and we'll be happy to get back to you in the next few days. So again, just stick around on the line to leave us that voicemail message, and if you didn't get a chance to give us your email address to get updates, you can leave that in a voicemail as well, along with your name, and we'll be happy to add you to the Long Range Transportation Plan email update list. So thank you again, everybody, for that, and I'll turn it back over to NDOT Strategic Communications Director Scott Manning to take us to the close. Go ahead, Scott.
Well, Ian, thank you very much for all your help tonight. With that, we have reached the end of our hour and the conclusion of NDOT's first ever telephone town hall, but it's not the conclusion by any means of our planning process and development process for the long-range transportation plan. That will continue. I want to thank you for being part of our conversation. Thank you for your feedback. Thank you for your questions. We hope tonight helped you to feel engaged. We'll encourage you to stay engaged and hoped that you learned some things along the way as well. I want to say thank you to our NDOT team here with us tonight that helped to guide our discussion and answer your questions. As I mentioned at the outset, and then we've refreshed a couple of times throughout the evening, this is just one opportunity of many to be involved with our planning process. We'll continue to be out around the state doing in-person meetings. There's more information about the planning process on our website, again, in.gov/indot. And if you have questions, comments about the long-range transportation plan after tonight, or you just have questions or comments in general about our transportation system or services, programs, initiatives that NDOT offers, we have several tools for you to interact with us and get those questions answered as well. Want to remind you of those. You can call NDOT customer service anytime at 1-855-INDOT4U, 1-855-INDOT4U, or use our web portal, INDOT4U.com. You can, again, also connect with us on social media. We also have an app available that offers many helpful tools as you travel NDOT's highways. If you haven't downloaded that and installed it on your mobile device, I encourage you to do that. You can find it by searching NDOT in the Apple Store or on Google Play. For all of us at NDOT, thank you again for taking part in our telephone town hall. We appreciate your participation and look forward to talking to you again soon.